Good morning, folks, and thank you so much to Grace and to Stephen for reading our Bible passages today. We're really excited to be launching a new sermon series today, but before I tell you more about that, let's just take a moment to bow our heads and to pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be in each and every home today. Spirit, would you fall afresh in our homes and in our lives this morning? Pray, Lord, that you would just take the words that I have prepared and that you would use them as you see fit. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Most of us will have memories of moments in our lives that will stick with us for a long time, good and bad experiences. But I wonder this morning, can you recall a time when you felt homesick or isolated, perhaps a time when you were in a place where you felt you didn't belong? Forevermore etched in my memory is the day that my parents dropped me off at the halls of residence when I went to study my first degree. Some of you know that I studied my first degree in Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. It was a city that I did not know at all. I was surrounded by strangers. I didn't know anyone else on the course. I didn't know anyone else in the halls of residence. I didn't know where my classes would be. I didn't know how I would get around the city. In fact, I got on the wrong train at least twice in the first week. I didn't know where the nearest shop was or supermarket. And I remember that day standing at the window of my bedroom in the halls of residence, watching my parents drive out of the campus. And as I stood there in isolation, feeling like, I can't believe they've just left me here. I can't believe they've literally deserted me. I'm now totally on my own and I have no idea how I'm going to survive here. Of course, like every student, you meet people, you make friends, and you learn to fend for yourself, and you grow in that experience. But that initial day, that initial experience of being left there was daunting. It was confusing. It was isolating. I felt so alone in that moment. It felt like I'd been deserted in the wilderness. I had no way of navigating my way through it. Some of us have felt like that during this past year of COVID and lockdown. We have felt that we are in the wilderness, that we've been abandoned in the wilderness. And this morning we're beginning a new series that will take us through the season of Lent called Worship in the Wilderness. And we're going to explore what it means for us as Christians when we find ourselves in a season of wilderness. And we have to go through some of the feelings and the emotions that I just described that I had felt at that time. But today I want us to establish, before we launch into this series the next 6 weeks, what is wilderness? What is wilderness in the Bible? And what does wilderness mean in our lives today? And then finally this morning I want us just to have a look at what it means to worship in the wilderness. So what is wilderness in the Bible? How does the Bible describe it? Well, actually, wilderness is one of the most important symbols and experiences that we find throughout all of Scripture. It's a repeated experience for so many people. In fact, the words that are translated into English as wilderness occur 300 times in the Bible. So 300 times in the Bible it says wilderness. And so when something appears that many times in Scripture, of course we know this is something significant. The wilderness is significant because it stands in contrast to the city. We've just finished a series in Nehemiah, which I know many of you enjoyed. Nehemiah is a book all about building a strong city. That's the emphasis. Let's build really well and really strong. Let's build fortified walls. And in the city, your needs are met. Behind those walls, you're protected from the elements. You're protected from the enemy, from predators. There are things to see and to do. There's work in the city. You can be secure in your surroundings. You can build a home in the city. The wilderness is a whole different experience, though. In the wilderness, you don't know where your next meal is coming from. You don't know where you'll next get a drink of water. You don't know when you'll next find a safe place to lay your head down and get some rest. You're at the mercy of nature and you're all alone. It's just you and God in the wilderness. If I'm honest, when I read scripture and the stories of wilderness, and I think of the harsh conditions that God's people endured, I'm prone to viewing the wilderness as a place of punishment, a kind of naughty step, if you like, the place that God says, go and think about what you've done. And yet, so many of my heroes of faith were taken into the place of wilderness. And so as we embark on this new series, we need to ask ourselves, what is the wilderness? And what does God do there? Why does he use the wilderness? And I hope that my mind and yours are changed. I hope that by the end of this series, we won't fear the wilderness like a punishment, but that actually we'll learn to accept the wilderness and wilderness seasons in our lives as a gift. One of the most significant wilderness stories in the Old Testament is when God chooses Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years to the promised land. The Israelites, of course, we know it's a familiar story. We know that in the wilderness, they ignored God, they disobeyed him, and that the wilderness became a painful place for them. But alongside those kind of negative associations, the Israelites also saw the wilderness as a place of provision. It's the place when manna fell from heaven. It was a place of transformation. And it was a place of real significant encounter with God. Countless characters in the Bible encountered God in the wilderness. Hagar, Jacob, Job, David, Elijah all met God in the wilderness. Throughout the Old Testament, we're given the picture of wilderness as a hard place, a difficult place, but also the place of opportunity. Of course, in the New Testament, we know that Jesus himself spent 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness as a preparation for his public ministry. And as Christians, part of living as Jesus did means that we must follow him into the wilderness at times. And so I want us to have a brief look this morning at wilderness in our lives. We are living in an age of modern technology. Thank goodness for Zoom. We're living in an age of spiritual commodities. We have apps and books. We have resources on the internet. Countless Christian books at our fingertips. We even have Christian counsellors and therapists, and I thank God for them. And we use all those things to try and keep ourselves, our mental health and our faith afloat. We equip ourselves with those things to avoid the wilderness. We think if we're well enough resourced, we can stay away from a wilderness season. In some ways, we think that we have the authority and the power to stay out of the wilderness. And yet what we need to learn is that God still uses the wilderness, that he still calls his people to meet him there. And so as we set out in this journey, I very clearly want to say to you, particularly if you're in a wilderness season now, you have not failed as a Christian if you're in the wilderness. You have not failed as a Christian if you're struggling with fear and doubt and isolation and sorrow. You have not failed. They're all part of the human experience and the wilderness experience that God offers to us as a gift. We're going to explore some of those feelings, doubt and anxiety and fear and isolation over this series. And so as we embrace the wilderness in each of our lives, if we're going to grow and be transformed in this time, we must ask the question, God, what is it you would do with me in the wilderness? What is it you have to teach me in the wilderness? And we must all ask ourselves that question today and as this series goes on. I want us to take a moment though now this morning to focus on one of the most significant things that God teaches in the wilderness. The call, first and foremost, in our lives, in a season of wilderness, is to worship. We must learn to worship in the wilderness. The call to worship is embedded in God's people. It is right there from the beginning of Scripture. God calls his people to worship rightly. Right back into Genesis and Exodus, and in that passage that Grace read for us from Exodus this morning, God's people had been in captivity, as I said, they'd been in slavery in Egypt. And God sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And so God sends Moses to speak the word of God to Pharaoh. Listen to what God says. Listen to his exact words that he says to Moses. Let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Let my people go has become a bit of a catchphrase from the story of the Exodus. But actually, we might miss an important lesson if we don't hear all the words that God says. He says, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. So let's be clear. The wilderness was not a detour. It was always part of God's plan. It was not that Moses got the directions wrong. God had planned the wilderness for his people. And as we take that on board, that God had planned it, we realise there's more to the wilderness than suffering and punishment. God did not take his people straight from slavery to the promised land because there was a lesson to be learned in the wilderness in between. God had a specific purpose for the wilderness, and it was to teach his people how to truly worship. The promised land, the mountaintop, is where we rejoice. Yes, it is. It's where we love to sing our songs of praise when we're feeling good and life is good. But in the wilderness, in the difficulty, in the harshness, is where we really learn how to worship. I keep imagining the day when we'll all be together in church under one roof and everyone's singing together. And my heart flutters at the thought of that. I'm so excited. I can't wait. But here's what God is teaching me in this wilderness season for me right now, in this isolation and lockdown. He's teaching me that my worship now is every bit as important as it will be on that day. My worship now is as edifying to me and as glorifying to God now as it will be on that day of rejoicing and celebration. It matters to God that you and I know how to truly worship. And the capacity for real, faithful, honest, heartfelt worship is critical for us as Christians. And the wilderness is the best place to learn, not the mountaintop. In the generations before the Exodus, the generation before Moses, so Abraham and his sons, they worshipped authentically, they worshipped rightly and honestly, even though they had no place to gather formally. They didn't have a tabernacle or a temple. And in the passage that Stephen read for us this morning, we're reminded of what the heart of worship actually is. Jesus told the woman at the well, it doesn't matter whether we worship in Jerusalem at the temple or whether we worship on a Samaritan mountain. What matters is that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Not the building, not the style, but that we worship in spirit and in truth. And it's in the wilderness that God teaches us to worship in spirit and in truth. Throughout the Bible, God's people came to understand what it meant to worship in spirit and in truth. They came to understand the importance of pouring out your heart to the Father, because that's worship. And I hope that over these next 6 weeks, the wilderness stories of the Bible will expand our definition of worship. We'll learn that worship is not just singing joyful songs all the time. It's not loud singing resounding in a cathedral building. But that worship also means our pain, our questions, and our sorrow resounding with praise to God who has moved by our tears, that is equally valuable worship. It's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, not just on good days, but in every moment, to worship with honesty. And that's what it means to worship in the wilderness. And so as we accept this season of wilderness, I pray that we will accept it as a gift. I pray that we will see this wilderness season as an opportunity to hunger for God like we haven't done in a long time. I pray that this will be a place for us to encounter God in a life-changing way. I pray that this will be a time for us to redefine the place that worship has in our lives. I pray that this will also be a time for us to cut back our personal prerequisites and preferences for worship, and to simply choose to worship in spirit and in truth. So for the next 6 weeks, we are inviting you to worship with us in the wilderness. I'm going to ask that we choose not to long for what life used to look like, not to pine after church structures and services and songs as they were. But let's be present in this moment of wilderness. Let's be present in this season and say, God, what do you have to teach me? Lord, here I am in the wilderness. Teach me to worship. And so I pray that we will be willing to seek God, and that we'll be willing to worship in the wilderness. We can learn so much from our biblical heroes about how to worship in the wilderness. We'll hear about their experiences of silence, of simplicity, of solitude, and even sorrow. And so as we seek God over these next 40 days, and we invite you to join with us as we do this, we want to intentionally heighten our experience of wilderness. We really want to enter into wilderness to get the most out of this. And one of the ways of intentionally heightening our experience of wilderness is by fasting and prayer. It helps us really to feel that wilderness experience, to fast and pray as Jesus did. And so we're inviting you every Friday in Lent to join with us in prayer. It's going to be in addition to our Wednesday night fortnightly prayer time, which is on Zoom. But now, in addition to that, on Friday mornings, every Friday morning at 8 a.m. during Lent, we're going to have another Zoom prayer meeting. Love you to join us for that. We'll send the Zoom details out on social media and by email through your home group leaders and all of that. We'll get them to you. But we'd love you to join us as we pray in the wilderness for Lent. And if you're fit and healthy and well, why don't you take this opportunity to fast also in this wilderness? That might be one meal, it might be for a whole day each week. Whatever you think is safe and manageable and helpful for you. Chat to me and Sam if you'd like some help in exploring how to fast. But let's increase our spiritual hunger for God. Let's heighten our wilderness experience by fasting and by prayer. So join us at 8 a.m. every Friday morning during Lent for this wilderness prayer time. This year has taken its toll on us. But let's accept this season. Let's not struggle in it, but let's accept it as a gift. Let's accept wilderness as a gift, as an opportunity to learn how to truly worship in spirit and in truth. Let's learn what it means to say, yes, I will worship you when life is difficult, when I am isolated, when I am anxious. Yes, I will lift you high. We're going to sing exactly that in a moment. Our worship team are going to lead us. You might just want to take the moment not to sing, but just to reflect on the words and to make this your prayer for this wilderness season, that whatever life looks like, whatever may come my way, Lord, I will worship you in spirit and in truth. Yes, I will lift you high. I pray that that will be the prayer of all our hearts during this season of Lent. Love you to join us on Friday mornings on Zoom for that early morning prayer time at 8 a.m. And if you'd like to chat a little bit more about the idea of fasting during Lent, please, please get in touch with us. Let's just bow our heads as we declare that we will worship in the wilderness. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that this has been a really difficult year. This has been a painful wilderness experience. But Lord, we know that you waste nothing, that you use the wilderness to teach us. And Lord, as you're trying to teach us to worship, we declare that we will worship in the wilderness. Lord, we won't pine after formality and structure and the things that we knew, but we will worship you in spirit and in truth in the wilderness. Whatever that looks like, that may be a new experience for us, but teach us, Lord. And as your people, we say, yes, we will worship you. Yes, we will lift you high. Lord, would you make that the song and the prayer of our hearts this Lent as we worship you in the wilderness? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.